Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batson with my colleague, Professor Richard Epstein, a senior fellow at the Hoover Institution, teaches law at NYU and the University of Chicago. The UAW strike, now announced to expand on GM and Stellantis. Ford is exempted to a degree. However, the union is presenting itself as a global representative of the working man. The working man and woman, the working class, against the plutocrats of Wall Street and the banks. There is a new factor, however, that I don't remember coming up to this extent before. EVs, electric vehicles. It is a fact that electric vehicles do not need as large a workforce, to my knowledge, as the fossil fuel-driven cars we've all understood for 120 years of the way America becomes rich. However, the EVs are the ambition of the Biden administration and other sovereignties around the world. EVs dominate in Germany for the future. EVs dominate in China for the future. But there are some details here. Richard, a very good evening to you again. The UAW notes that the EVs are entering into and the union workers are exiting from because they're not as needed as they were under the fossil fuels. And the conversion of plants is continuing apace because of subsidies by the federal government and the state governments. What does the UAW want? What is the compromise about EVs?
Well, what they're trying to do is to put a finger in the dike in order to prevent this from happening. But whatever is Biden's commitment to labor, when it comes to the question of how we think about carbon dioxide and global warming, he is much more extensively involved in that fight than he is with respect to the labor fight. And he seems to think, I believe that he's wrong, that if you give enough subsidies and get enough technical advances, all of a sudden the EVs can become dominant and you will not need to have all these fossil fuel guzzlers of one kind or another. The point about this is that the EVs are temperamental. They're difficult to charge. They're very heavy under certain circumstances. It's not clear that people actually like them when they consider the price tag, even with the subsidy. And so a lot of these cars sit on the lots of the dealer. If they're sitting there and if the subsidies don't compensate the companies for the cost, what happens is the EV threat is not just a threat to union jobs. It's also a threat to the big three profitability. And if that's going to be the case, it turns out that the more these things are pushed by the Biden administration, the smaller the net pie is going to be to deal with the wages for people who are working in the high-margin fossil fuel business. Well, if this is the case, then it's going to be even harder to get those wage increases because you cannot get blood from a stone. And if the companies are hurting and they're hurting, it's basically a plague on both your houses, courtesy of the Biden administration, which is going to make this thing even more untenable. So what he does is he could yell at the Biden administration. He should probably form an alliance with the companies in order to stop this because of the subsidies being so great. But at this particular point, if you look at the number of people parading outside the UN proclaiming that the climate crisis that we can only handle in this particular way, you read the letter column in the New York Times, and everybody is there is all in favor of eliminating all fossil fuels as soon as we possibly can. Well, what happens is he has to fight a very large portion of the Democratic Party. And, you know, they understand all of this. And what they've done, ironically, is they get this rousing endorsement, cheap talk mainly from President Biden. But at the same time, all the UAW is very reluctant to give him endorsements for the next election because they know that what he's doing with respect to another arena is going to cost them much more than they're going to gain with respect to this one. So they're holding back. And this is one of the things that is very common. The way in which labor negotiations work when you have a strike is it's the firm against the workers. But if you're looking at some of the industry threats that take place, Many of them are associated with foreign imports, and management and labor have to get together to be on the same side. And many of the threats associated with EVs are going to be the same way. So what you're doing, in effect, is by putting up the confrontation on the wage issues, you're going to make it a little bit more difficult to put all that stuff aside and get the alliance that you need in order to get rid of the EV mandates. Now, if you ask me what I think, I'm deeply skeptical about the strike in terms of a way to redistribute wealth. But I think that the EV mandates are highly misguided, because that depends on what your view is about the associated peril from global warming. And we do know that there's a certain orthodox religion out there which says every time you mention carbon dioxide, you have to think crisis. But there are many scientists who actually disagree with that and think that the cycles with respect to temperature are going to be cyclical, going up and down, and it's not going to be monotonic, just keep it going up, up, and up. And what they do is they say, yes, we know that you can trap greenhouse gases, but this is like a pressure cooker, and there are various devices when the pressure gets too great that release the greenhouse gases back into the ocean. And if you look at most of the data measures, it turns out they're heavily cyclical. And if they're cyclical, that kind of means that, hey, it can't be carbon dioxide that's driving everything up, because you have to explain what drives this stuff down. So if you take the two earlier peaks in 1998 and 2016, they were both preceded by much lower temperatures and followed by much lower temperatures. We had a real blast of this stuff in August of this particular year, but September is not as bad, and it will probably go down again. I can still remember, John, I don't know if you remember, back in 1998 when I was sitting in Chicago, we were sweltering to the middle of August. We couldn't figure out how we were going to survive this, and one day the temperature just broke and dropped 30 degrees or 25 degrees. So the discontinuities seem to me to make the global warming stuff much more difficult than these guys are willing to put. So I think, in effect, I support the union when it tries to back off the EV. There are other reasons why I'm deeply suspicious of this as a kind of a dominant solution. Another one is, it turns out, in order to build an electrical car, you have to find out where you're going to get your rare earths to build your batteries. And it's a total mess under current conditions as to where we could find the rare earths to do this. We're dependent on China, which has sort of cut off some of the supply. Even when you open up mines in the United States, the yields are very low. The dirt is very, very high. And the workers in these things are really suffering. So if you're looking at all the costs associated with electric vehicles, many of them are hidden because you're just spending your time on the fact that they don't have carbon dioxide from the tailpipe and ignoring all the other externalities that arise in other phases of production. Richard, so I think they should do it. I'll stop here.
Richard, just a moment. We have 30 seconds. Is this the railroad union watching these people with automobiles out there on the prairie thinking, oh, you know, we've got a problem here. The automobile is coming. Is that what's happening?
I don't know. Yeah, it's something like that. It's a situation in which people are putting something forward as a panacea, as the EVs, but it's not a panacea. And the more we put ourselves dependent upon it, the more likely it is that people start to see the weaknesses in the Biden program.
Right now, Sean Fain's remark has to be remembered, because I'm sure it's echoing all across the country. The money is there. The cause is righteous. The world is watching.
Sean Both Fain ways.
Leading the UAW on strike. Richard Epstein of the Hoover Institution. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.